It is time once again for Scripture Verse by Verse. Numbers chapter 33 is where we begin today's message. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to look at some stages in Israel's journey here in chapter 33. And it says in verse 1, here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. It says in verse 2, at the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. This is their journey by stages. Verse 3, the Israelites set out from Ramses on the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover. They marched out boldly in full view of all the Egyptians who were burying all their firstborn whom the Lord had struck down among them. For the Lord had brought judgment on their gods. The Israelites left Ramses and camped at Succoth. Moses kept an outline of Israel's journey from Egypt to the plains of Moab. Did you catch the fact that the Israelites walked out not just by divisions, but they left Ramses in full view of the Egyptians, and they walked out boldly? The Egyptians were burying their firstborn because they dared to fight against God. And they are a defeated people. And Pharaoh is a defeated king. He went from being the most powerful man in the world to nothing, with no army, because he dared to fight Almighty God. Now let's skip down to verse 50. I don't want to read all these different verses that deal with Israel's journeys. Let's go all the way down to verse 50. And begin reading. It says, on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy all their carved images and their cast idols, and demolish all their high places. Take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Distribute the land by lot according to your clans. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. Whatever falls to them by lot will be theirs. Distribute it according to your ancestral tribes. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you trouble in the land where you will live. And then I will do to you what I plan to do to them. Verses 52 and 50, or through 55, are especially important for us to see. God says, drive out all the Canaanites and destroy all their idols. And you may be thinking that God was being harsh with the Canaanites, but he was not. God was being merciful to the Israelites. The Canaanites were idolaters. Sexual sins of the worst, most depraved kind were a way of life for them. As a result, they were infested with sexual disease, and I'll tell you something, that's why God wanted them out of there. Because the land was completely polluted spiritually and physically. Drive them out, said God. And today we don't drive them out. You know what we do today? We give them a condom. Tell them to practice safe sex. We are in trouble as a people. And I'm not saying you can get the unsaved who don't know Jesus at all and don't care about the Word of God to act like Christians. It's a lost cause. But I think it's an indictment against the church and against preachers who for decades have preached health and wealth and other kind of theological nonsense, who have been preaching political sermons rather than preaching the pure truth of God's Word, calling people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ so that more souls could be saved. And you know what happens then? Then there's a greater influence of Christianity, biblical influence in this country. And then things start changing from the inside out. We don't drive them out today, just like the Israelites failed to do. We give them a condom. We tell them it's okay. But God says, get rid of them. The Lord didn't want the idolatry that they practiced to spread to Israel, and he didn't want their diseases to spread to Israel. God was looking out for the bodies and the souls of his people. Get rid of them. And then you weed out sin. Is to preach the pure word of God today. That is it. Let's go into chapter 34, verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites and say to them, when you enter Canaan, the land that will be allotted to you as an inheritance will have these boundaries. Now, this chapter gives some important information concerning the borders of Israel. And the Lord declares their southern border in verse 3. He defines it. He defines their western border in verse 6. And he gives them their northern border in verses 7 through 9. And the eastern border in verses 10 through 12. And we are not going to read those. But let's go down to verse 16. The Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, these are the names of the men who are to assign the land for you as an inheritance: Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and appoint one leader from each tribe to help assign the land. There's no question as to who's running the show here. Look who's giving the orders. It's not Moses. It's not Joshua. It's God. He's in charge, even to the point of naming the ones responsible for dividing the land. Let's go into chapter 35. And as we come to this chapter, let me just remind you that in the beginning, God claimed the firstborn Israelites for himself. You might remember that. The firstborn belonged to him. He then set up a system, a sacrifice, where he would redeem the firstborn in exchange for the entire tribe of Levi. The Levites were not given any land like the other tribes, but they were given cities to live in throughout the land of Egypt, or I should say Israel. They were the priestly tribe, connected to the worship of the temple and all the work that was to be carried on in that holy place. But let's begin reading in chapter 35, verse 1. On the plains of Moab, by the Jordan across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around the towns. Then they will have towns to live in and pasture lands for their cattle, flocks, and all their other livestock. The Levites received 48 cities throughout the land of Israel. And of those 48, 6 were designated cities of refuge. It's in verses 9 through 13. 3 of those 6 cities of refuge were to be set up east of the Jordan River, and 3 on the west. If a person unintentionally killed someone, he could flee to a city of refuge, and there he would be protected from a wild-eyed vigilante trying to get revenge. But if someone willfully murdered another, the cities of refuge didn't do them a bit of good. Saw that, and you'll see that in verse 30 if you read it. Well, you see, why was God so strict? Look at verse 33 and verse 34, and you will get your answer. Verse 33 says, "Do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed pollutes the land. An atonement cannot be made for the land on which blood has been shed except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites." God says the shedding of innocent blood pollutes the land. And there's only one solution to the guilt that is brought upon a nation by murder: the judicial execution of the murderers is what satisfies the justice of God. You know, we worry about air pollution and water pollution in the United States today. Everybody's always talking about the environment, which I suppose is okay to a point, as long as it's based on real science and not political ideology. But few seem to be concerned with sin pollution, which is much more dangerous to a nation. We're up to our eyeballs in sin pollution these days. But few have the courage to implement the only cleanup procedures that will work. We need to put all the first-degree murderers to death. Yes, after due process. I'm not talking about vigilantism, but this is Bible, Old Testament and New. I really don't get it. I really don't understand why we don't do things God's way. And he was very careful. You cannot put someone to death except by the testimony of at least two or three witnesses. But this is just punishment, as God says in this chapter and in other places in Scripture as well, because the land is polluted. How many times have people been let out and they've gone and done, they do the same thing again and again? Well, let's stop right there. We'll pick it up in chapter 36 next time. Actually, you know, we've got enough time. Let's finish it. Let's finish chapter 36 and finish the book of Numbers. Chapter 36, beginning in verse 1. Now, you may recall the daughters of Zelophehad. Their father died without having a son, and they were concerned that their father's inheritance would somehow be lost, would be removed from his family. Well, God solved that problem. He said, if a man dies without a son, his inheritance can be passed down to his daughters. But now, another question comes up. Suppose the daughter marries a man from another tribe. Their land would then pass on to that other tribe after the death of the husband. Well, God has an answer to that also. Verse 6 of chapter 36. This is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughters. They may marry anyone they please as long as they marry within the tribal clan of their father. No inheritance in Israel is to pass from tribe to tribe, for every Israelite shall keep the tribal land inherited from his forefathers. Every daughter who inherits land in any Israelite tribe must marry someone in her father's tribal clan, so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of his fathers. No inheritance may pass from tribe to tribe, for each Israelite tribe is to keep the land it inherits. Solution. The daughters of Zelophehad and others in similar circumstances would need to marry their paternal cousins. By marrying men within their own tribe, the land of their fathers would stay in the family. Let's move down to verse 13. These are the commands and regulations the Lord gave through Moses to the Israelites on the plain of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. No one can legitimately deny the Mosaic authorship and divine inspiration of the book of Numbers. God declares it to be His word. These are the commands and the regulations the Lord gave through Moses to the Israelites on the plain of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. This is the word of God. All the stories, all the commands, they are not the words of Moses. They are not the words of people of antiquity. They are the words of God, and to be respected as such. Next time, the book of Deuteronomy. Looking forward to that book. That's one of my favorite Old Testament books. Next time, the book of Deuteronomy. Thank you for spending this time with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.